I don't think there's an effort to emasculate men. I think the issue is men have not decided for themselves what their masculinity is supposed to look like.
Going to the next question, this is kind of what I've been wanting to kind of talk about. Do you think there's an effort to emasculate men in society? I know this is something that it's tough because I feel like it kind of goes back to, there's always been this issue of, first of all, women raising up young boys and fathers not in their life, right? There's that. There's TV shows kind of displaying from a woman's perspective on how men should be, who they should be, how much they should provide, the stability part portion of it, and kind of telling men in so many words, society, that men should only bring the money home and go sit in the corner and be quiet. You know what I mean? So what are you guys' thoughts on emasculation of men in society? I don't know who's gonna start first here.
I'll start because there was a pause. And this
I can tell you guys are
so
thinking about it.
I'm not thinking about it. I already have my answer, and my answer is
Okay,
no.
okay,
And
okay.
the reason my answer is no is because I don't think there's an effort to emasculate men. I think the issue is men have not decided for themselves what their masculinity is supposed to look like, or what's it called? The decision they've made about what their masculinity is supposed to look like is misguided, so to speak. Right? So
Okay.
I think a lot of men pick the wrong, going back to what we were just talking about with ego, I think a lot of men pick the wrong data points for this is a measure of my masculinity. Right? I
So
think,
you're correlating that with ego.
yes, I
Okay.
think,
Okay.
because like my ego will tell me, oh, and this is me personally, my ego will tell me, oh, my masculinity is tied to how many muscles I have. My ego will tell me, oh, my masculinity is tied to the car I drive, the house I own, all of it. My ego will tell me my masculinity is tied to how many women I've slept with or things
Okay.
of that nature, as
Okay.
opposed to the conversation we're having right now about, no, my ego is like masculinity is about leadership. It's about your ability to protect. It's about your willingness to push through difficult things. It's that's what masculinity is,
Okay.
because let's be real about it. We all have, like, there's masculinity and femininity within all of us. There are certain things that you would like, energy wise, however you want to, describe it. There are things that are divinely masculine, and there are things that are divinely feminine. We all have that within us. We all have the capacity for both within us, but we equate the measures of what is divinely masculine and what is divinely feminine incorrectly, I think.
Okay.
Because, like I said before, my ability to be disciplined, to struggle for something that's difficult, that helps me feel more masculine. That helps me feel like a man. That helps me feel like I am living in my purpose as a man.
So
Whereas,
you don't feel it any capacity that society, whether that be social media, TV shows, movies, news, is slowly emasculating who you should be as a man.
No,
or I won't even say influencing you who you are as a man or who you should be.
So I think I still say no, because okay. even if somebody else is trying to say, hey, this is what manhood looks like to me, it is up to you. This goes back to decision making. It is up to you whether you take that as your guidepost. You know, it goes back to source, it goes back to root, it goes back to like where is your foundation? Is your foundation in, and of course, I'm not saying that things don't influence us. I'm never going to say that, because that's a lie. Mm-hmm. But I also know if you are rooted correctly, if you're rooted in God, if you're rooted in family, if you're rooted in friendship, whatever the case may be, if you're rooted correctly, then somebody saying, oh, manhood to me is, you know, my ability to sleep with 50 women in my lifetime. Okay, cool. That's what it looks like to you. But just based on my root, my foundation, and where I place my, you know, where I place myself and my whatever you want to call it, that's not my version of manhood. That's not my version of masculinity. In the same way that somebody's saying, oh, your masculinity is rooted in your ability to cry, it's like, okay, that's not where my masculinity is rooted. Now your ability to be honest and to be vulnerable and not feel threatened, I do think that is a part of masculinity. And okay. I think too many people view that as, oh, the fact that you want me to be vulnerable means you're emasculating me. I think that's a very dangerous idea. But I also think that too many people don't have a root and don't have a source. Going back to, you know, how they were raised, who, you know, has that foundation been set, and do they have good examples?
Okay.
I think that's the big thing. I think too many people reach to the wrong places for the examples of what masculinity is.
Okay.
And that's why they feel like, oh, because they don't have a good example or an example that they have is giving them the right pieces. I think that's why it feels like everything out there is attacking my version of masculinity.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Winfred. It looks like you got a response.
Listen, I'm going to say this. You know what? I had a response, and I think Jake just changed my opinion.
okay.
The reason I say that is I was initially going to say that I think that culture is trying to tell us that the rough, tough testosterone on 10 is the only kind of man that is masculine.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And I think that if we're saying that, is there an attack on that? I would say yes.
Okay. Yeah. I won't disagree with you.
I agree.
But I would say that I think what I was going to say is I think it's trying.
So when you say rough and tough, you mean red pill, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can call it what it is, red pill.
I think that it's attack on that. I think there's and in an unhealthy way, I think that's okay. Because I think the other part of what I was going to say is.
You say in an unhealthy way, it's okay?
I mean, being that way in an unhealthy way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's a healthy way to be that person.
Okay.
Which I think is what not only culture is trying to do, but more importantly, especially as three Black men, I think what our Black women are asking us to do, which is to still remain masculine, but don't be closed off to other emotions, which is where Jay was going, to the other aspects of healthy masculinity.
I completely disagree. I don't mean to cut you off. I completely disagree.
Go ahead.
It's fine. I completely, I do think society is, I'm sorry to say this, the Tyler Perrys of the world, the Oprahs of the world, they're teaching a certain way a man should be, right? Let's just call it the way it is. Toting a certain line, right? To be either, you know, a lot of our men to act feminine, a lot of our men to either be that red pill, that tough, have sex with a lot of women, have the passport bros, travel to international women. I feel like in so many ways, those lines are starting to be an attack and is a threat to a lot of mental, stable men, married men, men in relationships. And we'll even attribute to that to temptation, right? Because it's so much of it in our culture to the fact that if you see it long enough, I think an average person, man or woman, can see that, oh, this is successful. Right. And I feel like there is an attack. Let's just keep it real. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. So
I agree that those people are present.
Correct.
And again, initially I was going to agree with you. Okay. I was agreeing that initially that there is an attack. I think that what swayed me is, first of all, I think I can't say number one is working, because I think that what we're also have to balance that with is that a lot of the things that we're seeing are not necessarily an attack on masculinity, but forcefulness of these type of personalities to be included in mass media.
That's a good point. Good point. Okay.
I'll use your examples, the Tyler Perry, the red pill, like these are subsections of men who are saying we want to be represented too. So we'll use the culture. You have an effeminate men who are saying we want to be represented. You have hyper masculine men who are saying I want to be represented. And so I don't know if it's an attack or if it's just we want space too.
I think the groups are attacking each other. They're attacking each other to say, "Hey, as a man, you're not supposed to be feminine," and as and that community of feminine men are saying, "Hey, you don't have to be so hard." You know,
yeah, I agree with that, but I think they're saying it because they're trying to also bring it to a place where they're represented, where their kind of masculinity is, or their kind of livelihood, whatever you want to call it, is being represented in media and culture, you know, to say that there's nothing wrong being like me.
Yeah. But so, I think my point is that it's the representation, right? I think there's a certain my main point is, and I'll let you speak, Jay, is that that representation, I think they're fighting for the overall, we'll even say the whole piece of the pie. This is the way it's supposed to be, right?
I'll completely agree that everybody's fighting for their space, and because they don't feel represented and they haven't felt represented for a while, they feel like, okay, if I don't take the whole pie, then I'm not going to get any pie at all.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to make sure I emphasized it's about where you're rooted, because.
So is that shutting down the men who that point right there? No, sorry to cut you off. Do you feel like that's shutting down the men who are rooted?
No, it shouldn't, because like Winfred said, like. Because me being able to let's just go from the space of this is all a conversation that we're all having about masculinity, femininity, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Are like the lives we're leading are all like our actions are all motivated by the conversation we're having, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is how am I supposed to exist in the world? That's ultimately what we're all doing. We're all trying to figure out how should I be existing in this space, period.
Yeah.
And how I identify in that space is part of like calling myself, oh, I'm masculine, or I'm a man, or I'm a woman. That's part of how we are trying to establish our existence. So me being rooted in like, okay, this is the conversation. So me shouting that out to the world is me telling people in general, me trying to express myself to everybody that, hey, this is me as a man, and this is how I feel like I should express myself. Okay. If I consistently feel like I haven't had a voice, then of course I'm going to start shouting louder that, hey, this is what manhood is to me. And the louder you shout, yes, the more attention you might get. But eventually it's just like, you're loud. Your impact isn't positive or negative. You're just loud at this point, right?
But I think the same thing, we say the same thing's happened with we go back to power struggle with women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With women is they feel like they haven't been heard, they've been treated badly, so now they're just gonna be gonna create our own, and that's
so what's the root of that in your opinion? What I guess that goes back to masculinity. What do you feel is the root of that? And that kind of goes into the next question also, I guess. So what in your opinion, what do you think the root is that that is?
Which part?
Where you said you feel like women feel they're not being heard.
Yeah, I think it's just culturally how we've historically, we have, and I'm not talking about Black culture, because I don't think this is as true for Black culture, let me say this, because in Black culture, women have historically ran the house, ran the family. Yeah. But in culture, period, we've told women that they, you know, we don't pay them the same, they can't work at some point. They can't, you know, just shut up and your sole function is to make sure that I'm fed and my house is clean and my children, and I guess we've denied them this full humanity that they, you know, of going after their dreams like we want to go after our dreams. And so they like, you know what?
And that sometimes can be categorized as the power struggle.
Yeah,
that can be categorized as power struggle. Yeah,
absolutely. That's what I think. So now they're saying we want to use our power for things that are going to benefit us. And so, I think it's rooted in the idea that we have not supported them the way that we want to be supported. And I'm saying culturally, large. Again, I don't think that has necessarily always been true. There are some truth to that in the Black community. Let's be clear.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I'm saying to the extent that in dominant culture it exists.
Correct. Correct.
Women have all, mama always has run the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's somewhat what we want in our partners. As far as the Black community, I do think that's kind of what we would like, but also keep our masculinity as far as the decision-making, as far as, it's always been this notion where the woman takes care of the home, the man buys it.
And that worked when we could survive off of one income, and that's correct. What, you know, and she was able to still, even when that was in existence, she still had a business on the side.
So let's speak on that a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
We
can speak a little bit on, you know, women not having to work. We can speak on the one income homes. Do you feel like that's changing a little bit now? Women wanting to chase their dreams.
I think it's changing because it's had to. Like Winfred said, like there was a period of time when one income was all you needed to survive.
And do you agree with it?
Do I agree with what, women working?
Women, because there are still I don't know the right word to use, but feelings within men, power struggle and ego, and even masculinity, and even emasculating men, that some men do still feel that women shouldn't work. Right.
So
women who don't want to work. It's plenty of
exactly.
How much of that is, well, I don't want to put, I don't want to like you know, put a number behind women who don't want to work versus who do. But how much does that plays a part? And is there a community of women that want to work versus the women who don't want to work? Are they fighting? Okay.
Well, are they fighting? I don't know if they're fighting. I think what they're doing is they're having conversations about positioning themselves to be the type of woman they want to be. Okay. I think that they're struggling also to talk about what femininity does look like in some circles. Like some women are
you
know, make your own girl, and why would you just want to be a stay-at-home mother and depend on somebody? Like they hear that too.
Take care of your husband.
They have those conversations. But I think
it's the same thing that we go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, marry you somebody who don't want you to work.
Yeah. 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 And that's always been the fight, you know?
Yeah.
I've always said I don't want when I get remarried, I don't want to work, but guess what? I can't afford that. So you got to go to
That's exactly
what I was gonna say. Like because everybody points to like the 50s and 60s as they're like this good old days type situation. And it's like, yeah, women didn't have to work for children to be taken care of, for people to survive in general. It's all about survival at the end of the day.
My last follow-up question, we'll kind of go to the next topic. You made a good point as far as like, you don't want your future wife to work, but you can't afford that. Do you feel like that's emasculating some men?
If it's unhealthy, yeah. I've realized, okay. I've also recognized okay. it. So here's the thing, though. I recognize that really what I'm not, I don't care if she works. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't actually care that much.
Okay.
I really want, what I'm really saying is I want to be able to provide so well.
Okay.
That's what it is. Yes.
That if you don't want to work, you don't have to.
You ain't got to.
Okay.
That there's a level of security and safety that I am providing for you that says, if you don't want to work, if them people stressing you out, you want to quit, you can. I want to provide at that level. That's really what I'm saying. It's not, and I had to peel that back because there was a point where I'm like, "Ooh, I can't date until I'm making a certain amount of money," and they can't. No, but that's not really what you want. You just want her to feel safe.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that goes into the. Oh, go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
And I think that's all. It's the same thing with what's it called? I think it's the same thing on the end. I'm not trying to put words in women's mouths or anything like that, but I think it's the same thing on the women's side. It's like, I don't want, it's not like I'm asking for it. Now, there are women who will, but it's most women, it's like, they're not asking for you to be Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or anything like that.
I think they are. Some are.
Again, like
some
I said,
are. No,
they,
some
they
are.
Definitely exist, and I'm not going to pretend like they don't, but I think most women just want the security to be able to choose, like, hey, if I don't have to, then I don't, like, it's not a requirement for me. I think there are a number of women who's like, okay, this is just for my sense of self, as opposed to this is a survival.
I think that's very I think that's very important, and probably what, you know, not speaking for women, but that's probably could be going through some of the mindset of women, you know, just as a sense of self-identity, you know, femininity as far as being who they are.
Let me tell you something. I know some women who make superb money.
Okay.
And every one of them will tell me at some point, I quit this job in a minute. but you know, like if I were married, if I were like, this is not my identity. I like what I do. I like the money I make, but you know what? This isn't the sole purpose of my existence. And
exactly.
The good part, the thing for them is because because they've gotten there, they now have time to recognize that, whereas most people don't ever get there to experience it. So now it's always this idea of shoulda, woulda, coulda, that, but again, I'm to every high power woman that I know that's, you know, CEO, VP, it's all like, I mean, it's cool. I like it. I like what I do. I enjoy it. But if I can go and make, you know, a decent living doing what I enjoy and be able to go home to my husband and my family and enjoy that part of life, I would gladly do it because they don't want the weight.
Yeah,
it's like the weight. Yeah. Is, I'm tired of carrying the weight. I don't want to carry the weight. I don't want the pressure. Yeah. Hurry up. Then they'd be sent posting talking about some Lord, hurry up and send me my husband.
Yeah. So that, exactly. That kind of goes into my next question. What does a healthy marriage and relationship look like to you?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, you guys are, just again, from the outside looking in, both of you guys have healthy relationships. So.
Well, let me ask this in terms of, for you, Jay, what it look like for you in your eyes?
For me, as somebody who is literally assessing potential partners.
Oh,
it's like, see, don't do that. Okay. First of all, I mean, in that, that's the stage of life I'm in where it's like, all right, I'm going back to our previous conversation. I'm hitting the career milestones already. So now it's not about, okay, I need to grind until I get to that spot. It's all right. I'm getting to that spot, and getting to that spot is sort of a foregone conclusion.
Okay.
So what am I looking for in somebody who is going to continue this journey with me? Right. And it's the things that we're talking about right now. It's like, okay, when I make a decision, are you going to support me in the way that we've described? Hey, I have this idea. I have this dream. How do I actualize it? Because I'm, you know, I'm a dreamer, but I'm also a pessimist, okay. Right? So, well, a recovering pessimist, we'll put it like that. So I'll have a dream and then immediately think of everything that could go wrong.
Okay.
And I've noticed specifically, like when I'm in relationships and when I'm in relationships that I stick with for a while, it's, yes, I have a dream and these are the things I want to accomplish, but I'm not necessarily seeing the path forward and I'm not self-correcting well. And the person I'm with, like we were talking about, hey, have you taken a look at this? It's like, no, I haven't taken a look at it because X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, you know, somebody who can check me in the ways that I need to be checked.
Challenge you.
Somebody who can challenge me, exactly. Okay. But also somebody who can respect that I do hold some authority. Now, I also understand and recognize that authority has to be demonstrated. Like, authority is often earned. Nobody's just going to give you authority over them.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. They got to trust you.
Exactly. I got to trust you. I have to demonstrate these skills and the decision making before I establish a relationship.
So are you ready to do that? Because that's the determining factor.
I'm doing that right now.
Okay. You just don't have any, you don't have anyone to show it with yet.
Exactly. Like, okay. part of the reason why I say I'm assessing right now is because it's like, all right, there are people I'm interested in.
Okay.
But it's like, all right, I've made bad decisions in the past about who I chase and all of that sort of stuff because I didn't have the control systems in place. So let's put some control systems in place.
Okay.
It goes back to our conversations about standards and expectations. What are my standards? What are my expectations? Are they realistic for a partner? And are they healthy? Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to your original question, what does a healthy relationship look like? It's like, okay, are you able to check me in the ways I need to be checked and be kind about it? Are you willing to let me lead in the areas that I should be leading in? Are you okay not, you know, are you okay stepping up to lead when there are areas where I need you to lead, you know?
Yeah.
Is the push and pull correct, so to speak? And
go ahead.
And I think healthy relationships often get that push and pull correct. There are some hiccups every now and again, but that push and pull is that balance is there so that, hey, this is where we're going. This is the path that we're both on. And when I need you to take the front, you can. And when you need me to take the front, you can. But this is the path that we're both on. I think once that's set in stone, that's when the successful relationship happens, usually.
So I assume, I say this jokingly, but maybe consider it. Are you potentially preparing yourself for a power struggle? Because sometimes it's almost like you're open to confining to a certain decision you want to make, but you want to be able to feel good that if you make this decision, she's not going to judge you for it. Is that kind of what I'm getting, right?
No, it's because there's going to be a power struggle until you establish that, okay, I think that's the opening phase of a relationship is going to be that power struggle, in my opinion, because you're still establishing where you're getting to know the person. You're getting to figure out, okay, where are your strengths? These are my strengths. And you may even discover some strengths in each other that you didn't even realize once you enter that relationship, that partnership. I think that's the beginning stages of a relationship. I think that's the entire point of dating, is to figure that out. Yeah. But I think for a very long time.
Go ahead, Winfrey. We didn't hear you. What did you say?
I'm saying, Jay, you consider that a power struggle, what you were just referring to? Is that what?
No, I don't think that's I don't think it's necessarily that specifically is the power struggle. I think negotiating that is the power struggle.
All right, I'm listening. Yes.
So where's the confidence? And I know we're probably getting off subject, but where's the confidence in the decision making? Because I feel like maybe you would want someone to give you that reassurance and the confidence to say the decision you're going to make is a good one.
I don't think it's necessarily I'm not necessarily looking for reassurance. I'm looking for support. I think there's
things. Okay.
Like, if I'm being honest,
Well, the reason why I'm asking this is because not to cut you off. The reason why I'm asking this is because I feel like what you're stating is what a lot of men potentially are going through in unhealthy relationships, or they're going through this in dating, where they're trying to determine the person that I am as a man, the things I want to do moving forward. Can this person? It's almost like you're riding in the car, like you're driving on a road trip, right? And it's 16 hours. You drive eight. When that eighth hour comes, can you trust this person to say, hey, I'll drive, my partner's going to drive the other eight, right? Mm-hmm. And you're confident with that.
And or you trust even that. If it's just, drive for two, let me catch a nap real quick, and then I'll pick up the rest. However it looks. But yes, it's that. I think it's that.
Okay.
But I ought to take it a little bit further. I think it's, the car analogy is good because it's like for life,
Okay.
Like when I date, this is just me personally, and I know for a lot of people, they don't put this much stock in dating. But me, when I'm dating somebody, I am looking for somebody to share my life with. I'm not looking for somebody to And don't get me wrong, I've definitely had periods in my life where it was just like, look, I just need a quick, you know, a quick knockdown, and I'm gonna call it.
We've all had those stages,
but now what I'm looking for is, hey, can I move forward for the rest of my life with you?
Yeah.
And that is the target.
That's your picture of a healthy relationship or a marriage or even exactly. dating life. Someone that can I move forward with this person but still be me?
Exactly. And it goes both ways. Like, I don't want you to show up in my life and just be, it's all about pushing him towards his dreams. Yeah. It's like, all right, you're pushing me towards mine, and I will support you and push you towards yours. Like, that's why I say the path has to be, because if we're both on the path towards, hey, this is where our dreams are headed. They align with each other. We are, so let's push each other towards that thing.
Okay.
Then cool, bet. I imagine that in a situation like that, where it's like steel sharpens steel, and we can both make each other better emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and drive each other to whatever that is.
Okay.
Whether it's, you know, like me, I don't know if I haven't made a decision on whether or not I want to have a family or not, but whether it's, oh, I want to have a big family, or, oh, I want to have an extreme career, or I want to, you know, I want to change the world, whatever that ultimate goal is, it's, do we push each other towards that, and do we do it in a healthy way? And that goes back to what we were speaking about earlier in terms of authority and leadership versus ego. It's like, all right, yes, this is the path we're on, and I will do everything in my power to lead us there, as opposed to, this is the path I'm on, and I think it should look this way, so we're going to make sure it looks this way, because if it doesn't, then it damages my sense of self.
Yeah. Right? I will respond to that, then I'll let Winfred kind of respond. The reason why I'm asking these questions is because what you're saying, those were some of the things that I looked for going into the relationship and now going into the marriage. But as I just want to let you know on a little bit of something as far as the experience and kind of the time I've been in this relationship and marriage, I just want you to understand one thing, right? And this is something that I try to articulate to different people that are either looking or in this situation, right? There are going to be times when, and I'll kind of correlate to your example, right? Kind of moving forward together, just off of basic experiences, there are going to be times where you're not going to agree with each other. There are going to be times where, I know in my experience, there are times where I don't understand where she's going. Mm-hmm. She doesn't understand where I'm going. She doesn't understand how I'm getting there. I don't understand how she's getting there. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have fights. You're going to have, like, things. And that is a true test of a marriage, a relationship, but sometimes a healthy one, right? You're building communication. So I will say this to people, you know, that are going through what you're looking to get into and looking for your next relationship, but also in a relationship, but also married, that there are certain times that you may be on the same train, but you're getting off at different stops, if that makes sense, right? I will say this right now, and Winfred's saying yes and laughing too, because I think he can kind of understand where I'm going. There are some things that I feel like in marriage, especially marriage, right, that it's just some things you're not going to understand. And you have to marry and understand your partner that you can trust where they're going, that they understand where they're going, how they're getting there, you're just along for the ride. And understand that where they're going, they have your best interests at hand, but also know that you're going to support them. And I just want to make that point because that's one of the hardest things to do in a relationship in marriage. Understand and trust your partner, even though you may not understand where they're going, but they understand it. They see the vision, right? And I feel like sometimes, yeah. And I feel like sometimes as a man, you know, certain visions that I see, she may not understand it. She may not get it. I know where we're going, but she trusts. So I want to relay that point to you first, right? If you're dating someone, you're in a relationship with someone, or you're married, I feel like that's the laying foundation is trust. You may not understand where you're going. You may not understand where she's trying to take you or take herself, but you have to trust that, right? If you feel you're with the right person. And because you know, because if you're with that right person, she will begin to articulate where she's going. She will consider your feelings. She will consider your future. And she will do, him and her would do what they have to do to make sure that it doesn't damage the future. Because what, as we spoke earlier, they'll take a step back to say, hey, is this the right thing to do? You know, how do you feel about this? So I feel like, you know, what you're saying, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. But I encourage you to kind of observe and have some grace on some of that. Because there are going to be times when, you're laughing, but I'm serious. There are going to be times where it's just such a misunderstanding, right? Because I've been through it. But go ahead, Winfrey.
I think you both are hit some very good things, because I think where Jay is getting to, and what you're saying, what made good decisions. And so because of that, I'm gonna give it, I gotta give him, I gotta give her the room to do what they're doing. Because you're absolutely right. There's a lot of moments, not a few, there are a lot of moments when you have no clue what your partner is talking about or doing. Because you know the core of who they are, then you should. And when you don't, that's where the conversations, like we're talking about earlier, where those conversations come in of, okay, you say you want to do this. I don't get this. Help me understand, you know, help me understand why you're making this decision. And like you said, and that's what I said, it's not so much you're pitching your thing. It's now you're walking through this process because my detailed oriented self don't understand. And I'm building this trust in your decision-making process. So all of that, so you both are correct in what healthy relationships and marriages look like. It's just yours is the first part that has to happen.
Yeah.
In order for us to get into this space where you trust that what I'm doing is building, because the other part you didn't mention is sometimes as I am pushing you to your destiny and you pushing me, sometimes you push me and it feels like I done went off and left you. And how do I now then address this thing where I feel like my partner's career is doing exceptionally well and mine isn't? And so now you as the other partner have to recognize that and you know and trust that they're not going to just leave you out here. And so or you then got to turn around and say, okay, hey, we've done enough of pushing me in this season, let's go ahead and push you. And so all of those things have to happen, because they don't always happen at the same time. Yeah. We're not going to always grow in all of these areas together. Trust in the patience that you are going, that we're still going to grow together. You do it by, again, over time, establishing trust, falling in love with the core of who the person is, understanding that even when they change, even when things about them change, who they are is not changing. It's the same woman. That's the same woman who you fell in love with those years ago because you understood who she was on the inside and not just how fine she was.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So I'll kind of go into the next topic here. Men's mental health, right? I'll kind of relate Jay on this kind of. My initial question was, go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead.
My initial, you know, kind of question was, is that men's mental health in general is a serious topic, right? How concerned are you guys about mental health of men, and should it be talked about and acknowledged a little more?
I'm very concerned.
Okay.
I'm concerned because, I mean, let's back up to the conversation we just happened. We're dealing with men who we're dealing with us as us, not men like them, us.
Okay.
As we're battling again, we're battling the basic thing, which is identity.
Yeah.
And so when we get into talking about emasculation and we get into talking about power struggles and all of that stuff, really what we're trying to say is we're trying to get to the point of who am I? What is my identity as a person? And if I feel like the person I have been being told I'm supposed to be is not the person that I feel like I am, then I'm struggling. Or if I, and I've become this person, but it's really not who I feel like I'm supposed to be. Now I got to unwind this because now I feel like my whole life has been, I've been lied to. So you got that aspect. You got the aspect of I've never gotten, like, now culture is saying it's okay for me to be like this. So now, I mean, you have all of the, now my wife ain't happy because she all of a sudden want to be, you know, a feminist, which she really ain't, but she, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's trying to become and tell me and emasculate me in my own home that I didn't spend all these years. Like, so now brothers is out here like, man, I don't know who I am. And so I'm concerned that we have so many voices talking to us. And this is what Phil, what you were saying a little bit earlier, talking to us that because we don't have confidence, we don't have a strong foundation of who we are, that all of these voices are now telling us. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay, this might get me in trouble. Here's the thing. What I found out, what I've learned is that men who don't have strong relationships with their father and men who don't have strong relationships with other men are going to struggle more, not struggle, but going to struggle more because there's no basis for anybody to have successfully spoken into their lives. And so now their identity is being thrown all over the place as opposed to having to deal with the questions. Like we all gotta deal with
that's very true. That's very true.
The way you deal with the questions, or you know, it's like if you've had a strong father and you got other men around you who are mentoring you, who you humble yourself to and are accountable to, and you can go to for wisdom and help you build and you build this confidence, then yeah, you still gonna have to be like, I don't know, let me think about that. But it shouldn't crush you.
Yeah,
because you have this deep root of no, I know who I am as a man.
Yeah, yeah,
I know who I am as a man. So that I don't understand that, but that's not me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna deal with that, but I know who I am.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, like Winfred said, I'm concerned as well, and the concern is exactly what he said. A lot of us, and when I say us, I mean men in general, don't have the foundation that we are supposed to have. Let me not say it like that. There are a good number of men who do not have the foundation they are supposed to have. And because of that, you get red pill guys who are shouting into what they perceive to be a void, trying to be what they think a man is supposed to. Or you get effeminate men who are shouting into another void, screaming like, hey, this is what manhood is supposed to look like, or this is another version of manhood. Meanwhile, once you have your root and it's, once you have your core, and you know you've worked through the trauma, you've worked through the pain, you've worked through the questions and all of that sort of stuff to get to who you actually are, then people can try to knock you off your square. And yes, they may succeed for a brief amount of time, but once you've worked through all that, you can always look around and be like, hey, I'm not where I'm supposed to be right now. Okay, my square is back over there. I'm gonna walk that way. You know, as opposed to, you know, you're dealing with all this trauma, all this pain, all this anger, all this, you know, all these mixed messages, all this stuff, and you don't even know what the square, whether your shape is a square or a circle. You don't know where it is. You don't know what color it is, all of that sort of stuff, right? And I think that's one of the things I do like about what we're seeing in media right now is that a lot of people are saying, hey, take care of your mental health. Take care of yourself. Figure it out. Now, there are still a lot of people who haven't taken that leap. I will put myself in that camp and that, like, look, I know I need therapy. I have not been. Now, there are...
well, this is kind of your therapy. Well,
it definitely has served as a therapeutic thing for me, yeah. In that, like, it's helping me work through a lot of the questions and concerns I've had about who I am as a person and the world at large, because yeah. I've had to think deeply about all of these things, about power dynamics, about how I want to be in a relationship. Do I want to be in a relationship? What is the healthy way to be in both of those states? Like, I've had to think about that. Now, I don't necessarily have all of the tools to do that, which is part of what I think therapy is for. Is giving you the tools and the techniques to keep yourself on that square. But I do think, you know, I do think I'm headed in the right direction, because, like, Lord knows, there have been a couple times where I've looked for therapists, you know, just, all right, is there anyone in my area? Is there someone who I would feel comfortable talking to? And there are even times when I've tried to schedule appointments only to find out, like, oh, I only have appointments 6 months out, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that aside, the reason I have done those things is because I am concerned about the potential impact that I could have if I don't get my stuff in order. Mm. In the same way that, because if, you know, Winfred, for example, you are somebody who holds a lot of influence, but you are also somebody who, like you said, you know who you are, and you are secure in who you are. You know, I don't know what your therapy journey has been. I don't know if you've been to therapy. I don't know if you do any of that. But as you have gotten healthy, your sphere of influence has increased, right?
I think a lot of that is I think it goes back to, you know, you mentioned Winfred as a mentor, and I definitely agree. I kind of see Winfred as that mentor too, but I take it as if Winfred is kind of saying, hey guys, I've done the same thing, the same role you guys have been. Don't do the same things I do, right? Don't go down the same road I did. And I feel like that's a lot of what's missing in men's mental health, that acknowledgement of bad decision making and behaviors. And a lot of our men aren't stepping up, and we're just kind of letting it gloss over and to say, that's not my role. That's not my role. That's not my job to kind of do that. And I feel like it's a problem, you know, and I'm very concerned, because I don't see a lot of men stepping up and offering that hand, as far as, like, hey, I don't know you, but I noticed something out of you. You know what I mean? Do you need someone to talk to? Right. But our immediate response sometimes is that because either you were in that place that this person is reaching out for help and you feel like you're above them, or you feel like we look at each other, especially in the Black community. We look at each other as a, like, you know how sometimes when you're above someone and you don't have your ear to the ground anymore, it's almost like, I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I feel like that's, and I know I'm going off topic, but I feel like that's a problem in the Black community, especially in the Black community, to where we as men, and I'm specifically speaking to men because I see a lot of women giving advice on how men should be and trying to acknowledge and speak on a lot of men's issues. But I don't see a lot of men stepping up and speaking to men other than us. But it's almost like, and I understand we as men, we're conditioned to not speak, we're conditioned to not talk about our issues. But, you know, there's always room to have a conversation. And I feel like it's very concerning that men don't want to have that conversation. Right.
So let me say this to that. I agree with you. First of all, I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
I have a really good father.
Okay.
Who has always been sometimes overly present. So I'm fortunate there. And who has, over the course of my life, also put me in the presence of some very wise men.
Okay.
But there came a point, like in this last, like post-divorce, where I realized I'm not growing. And a part of the reason I'm not growing is because I allowed myself towards the end, to be the smartest person in my life. And it started to diminish me. So I said, I don't have any men in my life. I don't have any older men. I don't have any like mentors. And so I started seeking out people, because you're right. Men aren't just doing that.
Yeah.
But I would see like, see some older guys or some, you know, other men, and like, hey, I like what you're doing. Can you be my mentor? Like, and just doing it. And I had like three or four men who, if I have, you know, if I get into a situation, hey, I'm calling like, hey, this is what's going on, or I'm texting. So I've put myself in that position and had to go to them, because you're right. They're not there. They just weren't coming. And so when I asked, they were like, oh, absolutely. Like, and have been on it since. But I think some of that is we've got to go to them and tell them what we need. Because I think, to your point, culturally, we have been, as men, have been, so that we don't go to each other. We wait for them to come to us.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's a little problematic, but a lot of older men aren't going to do that because they feel like we don't want to hear what they got to say too.
That's true.
So it's like, I had to literally go to them and say, and in every sense, they're like, hey, or if I have to say, before I took this church, I called both of them. Hey, what do you think? This is what I'm thinking. All three of them. This is what I'm thinking. This is, I read the whole thing, and they gave me their wisdom. And it was like, okay. So it's still, we always have to put ourselves in those positions, but we have to put ourselves as men, because they're not going to go. Just like therapist isn't going to call us and say, come sit on my couch.
Yeah, we that's true.
Find a therapist. It's just, we got to go find the mentors. We got to go find the men and tell them, hey, this is the position I need you to play.
Yeah. And we think, you know, I'm very thankful for this podcast and this platform to be able to kind of speak on these topics. And I do see myself as potentially getting better as someone's mentor. I wouldn't mind, you know, just having a conversation with somebody. I think God is preparing me to be in a mentorship role. That takes time, but I have no issue becoming that man, or even, you know, speaking to someone outside of here on a conversational level, you know? So we're going to go ahead and go into the wrap it up session. You know, this is that session where we give, I guess, 3 to 5 minutes to kind of speak on the gym, speaking to our audience. So, Winfred, man, you've got the floor, sir.
First, let me say how much I enjoyed hanging with the two of you.
Yeah.
How and I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna say this even since we just ended. I am always like, I'm not gonna lie. When we met, I was like, I like them. So I count it a privilege to be, a mentor, a brother, to you all. I literally, I'm not gonna lie to you, when I left that conference, I was on 10, and I had to go back to my mentors and was like, hey, some people just asked me to be their mentor. I don't know what that, like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I really didn't, because like I'm used to this like big brother thing, but I was like, that was a new weight for me. And so I say that to say, I don't enter into to our relationship lightly. I, like, you text me, I'm responding. Like, something to me that somebody would trust me like that. And so I think that I enter that today again, that I think it's a great thing. I honor the two of you and what you're doing. And I'm here because I think these conversations need to continue to happen. As a wrap up, I want to say that I think that the overall health of men is something that I think that not only are we should we be proactive in becoming, but I think that it's also again the thing that our community needs. Our women, I think, are be I believe are begging for us to rise up and be the leaders that they need. Because even though they love this newfound voice that they have, they also recognize that without us, there's an incompleteness in their life. Just like without them, there's an incompleteness in our life. And that's not even just in the confines of marriage. That's in the community, as a brother, as an uncle. Like, there is something missing when the man is missing, and they know that, and have ex and because they're experiencing what the world looks like without us, I think they're saying, "Hey, we want you. We don't want to be diminished, but we want you." So I just want us to I want to encourage us to be proactive in having these conversations. Be proactive in opening up and asking some of the hard questions and wondering why we feel certain things that we feel and why we might not feel certain things that we don't feel. Because ultimately the speed at which we go as a people is largely going to be determined by the growth and development in men. As we grow and as we develop our capacity, our community will develop its capacity. Because as much as our and phenomenal and amazing and wonderful as the Black woman is, as the woman is, period, there are some things that only we can do. There are some weights that we carry better, and they don't want to carry them. They want us to carry them. They want us to be able to be all we can. So I want to encourage that. The other thing I want to say is I want to say that you as a man were created the exact way that you were supposed to be created. That there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. That there are some things that could be developed. There are some areas that we need to gain more knowledge and wisdom and understanding, but there is nothing wrong with you. So to know that and to believe that then means that we should spend all of our energy trying to become a better version of who God created us to be. We don't need to change. We don't need to be somebody different. We don't need to try to learn and to be how to be somebody else. We need to just love who we are, embrace who we are, the way that we are, and just say, I'm going to grow in the knowledge of who I am. And when I do that, when I accept that as a challenge, then now I can set up the proper systems. I can get the proper people. I can find the proper purpose, which will lead me to the destiny that I desire that will make me feel and feel, not just feel, but become, excuse me, the man that I was created to be. But we can't be afraid to reverse the things that are wrong and go after the things that we don't know. and be humble about the things that we don't know, and to go and find the right people who can help us. So I want to encourage us again, get you some mentors, get you some brothers, get you some, you know, get you some people, get you a team of competent people who are interested in you becoming the best version of you that you possibly can. Because I can tell you what does happen when you do that. All of that time you think you wasted, you realize was not wasted. You realize all of the stuff that you think that you went through, that you thought you'd be like, man, that was stupid. None of that was wasted. All of that happened for a purpose, and it'll come back when you least expect it. And you're like, that's why I went through that. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense now. And you'll start saying, okay, I'm stronger than I thought I was, or I'm wiser than I thought I was. I didn't even know I knew all of that. But you do, because of all of this experience, and you've submitted yourself to this process, this consistent process, and this consistent discipline of becoming the best man that you can. And again, our community, our women, our children, our businesses, our churches all flourish when we do.
Yeah. Well, I just want to add to that and say, man, we are honored to have met you, honored of your who you are as a person, man. I feel like, you know, every time we speak, man, it's always always, man, it's just inspirational, motivational, man. And I feel like, man, we as men can have these conversations, man. I feel like no matter the time or day, man, you know, it doesn't feel nervous. It doesn't feel, you know, judged or anything like that. So we really appreciate that, man. We really appreciate you being, taking the time out and being on the show with us, man. Make sure also, man, you guys follow him, man. Amazing content, man. Always supporting what he's got going on as a pastor, author, relationship coach, co-host of his own show, The Scoop Show, with his other co-host, Kay Willis. Make sure you guys follow them. Check out their show. Amazing show, man. They're constantly having fun. Follow them also on The Real Scoop Show. Like you said, man, make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe the Less Rock Podcast, man. Want to hear you guys' feedback and engagement on this, man. What do you guys think as far as the power struggle within relationship, the ego within relationships? You know, is are we wrong about male and masculinity in society? Are we wrong about that? You know, what's kind of your definition of a healthy marriage, right? And what are some ways we can fix a lot of mental health today, right? Yeah, we know it's concerning. You know, love to hear your ideas on how we can make that better. Make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate you guys taking the time, and really appreciate you, Winfrey, man, for coming on today. I'm Philosophical, and we're out. Peace, y'all.
I'm Jay Echo. Take it easy.
Man, appreciate you guys having me. Shout out to y'all, man. And yeah, I'm happy to be here, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, man. You guys are doing amazing things.
Good, man. We're doing good. I see you guys looking great.
Well, I appreciate y'all for having me out, taking y'all time, and promoting positive black image.